on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? We're back for another edition of YoteCast. Great to have you alongside for this episode as we continue firing through the month of May. After this episode, we've got three episodes left in the podcast season. We'll take a little break for the summer, return in the fall. Super excited for all of that. But we do have, obviously, episodes coming up here, and we'll continue the get to know segments of our podcast here coming up over the next couple of weeks, because we get the opportunity to learn about the new women's basketball coaching staff, the new assistants for the women's basketball coaching staff. Those are all coming up over the next 3 weeks, and all of them, Gabby Johnson, Ty Morgan Thaler, and Taylor Ignoto, they all were fun conversations. I've had conversations with all of them, but I can't release them all at once because then what would I talk about the next week, right? So they're all coming out here over the next few weeks, so really excited to have that. We were going to have one of them on the show for this week, but I had a chance this week to catch up with Jack Cochran, a former Coyote linebacker who obviously just completed rookie minicamp with the Kansas City Chiefs. And we get to talk about his draft process leading up to all of it, what led him to the Chiefs, and all of that good stuff. So that's coming up here in the show today. Also coming up in the show today, Lucky Huber, the head, the director of track and field at USD. Obviously, his team's preparing. They have been preparing for the Summit League Championships. Those are underway this week through Saturday in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Should be great weather in Tulsa for some track and field, and nice warm weather. So get the opportunity to talk to Lucky Huber as well. Let's get it started, as we always do, with the athletics director of the University of South Dakota, David Herbster.
David, we're closing in here at the end of the school year. Hard to believe, but with the graduation ceremonies going everywhere, we've talked about banquet season, all that stuff, and we've talked about championship season for the remaining sports as well. So it is just flying by right now.
You know, as soon as graduation hits, that really kind of, there's this big exhale, like on campus, that I always, you know, you always notice. Students are moving out. I mean, parking gets a lot easier. Vermillion's a little quieter, but we're still, you know, softball's still going, track's still going. So for us, we haven't totally hit the pause button on and ending the year. We still have teams going, and even once track's done, you know, we're going to have probably several that'll either go on to regionals or nationals after that. So for some of our athletes or teams, they're still going into June.
Yeah, no doubt, and they're trying, and the June is good because that means you're really deep in the championship season, so hopefully right. It continues for some of those. Let's talk about softball. Obviously, the softball tournament, the conference tournament, rained out on day number one, so right. Now they move ahead. We'll see how everything looks, but for the Yotes, they're trying to kind of bounce back, kind of limping their way into the Summit League tournament, if you will, tough regular season ender at Kansas City, but an opportunity to continue what has been an extremely successful year.
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest turnarounds in Division One for them from last year till this year. And yeah, certainly the season didn't end how they wanted to, getting swept by Kansas City down there. They had their banquet, season-ending banquet on Sunday. And I think they, you know, you can see a little bit of different. You'd like to think you can see a little bit of difference in them, but, you know, the good thing is that series is behind them, but the good thing is you have Kansas City up first on the docket. So they always say it's tough to beat somebody three times in a row. Well, they did. They did it to us. Really tough to beat someone four times in a row, and I think I like where we sit right now. I really do. And it's interesting, you know, being up in Brookings, and now you're rained out. I remember those years being up in Fargo when the tournament was up there, and it was just too – it was unbelievably cold trying to play as well. So and don't be surprised the next year or two it's going to be in Vermillion, and the weather's always going to be perfect in Vermillion.
Yeah. That's right. Let's find a way to get that for perfect weather, any chance we can. You know, we're talking about softball being successful. They had seven players to the all-conference team that was announced prior to the start of the Summit League softball tournament. It's the second time in the last 3 years seven players have been on the Summit League team for USD, which is an unbelievable number. Leads the Summit League this year.
It does. And the thing I like about this one is they're all coming back. I think there's only one, Courtney Wilson, who's listed as a senior, but I know she also got a COVID year, too, that at least initially she hadn't intended on taking, so let's hope she still does. But the great thing about that, there's a lot of youth on that roster as well. And so being recognized and playing that well this year, give yourself another summer and a fall season. Look for this team to be a lot better next year.
Yeah, well, hopefully they can continue their season as long as possible. Track is continuing its season. They're getting ready for the Summit League Championships, but last week they hosted the USD Twilight. I know it started like 2 or 2:30 in the afternoon. A lot of success from the track athletes, but it's really cool to see a couple of former Coyotes come back and kind of put on a show for the crowd.
Yeah, you know, we call it a twilight because that's where it ends, not where it starts,
yeah,
right? but it was, I mean, certainly, you know, from our current team, seeing some of, you know, the relays, the sprints, I mean, having some records fall and some records set, both facility records and Summit League records fall is kind of where you want to be at this point in time. But it was not taking anything away from them, because I think that sets us up really nicely as the team is in Tulsa this weekend for the Summit League Outdoor Championships. But just watching Chris Nielsen jump was awfully special, and then having Laura Bowman come back in and throw and seeing what those two did. Again, setting facility records and watching Chris go over 19 feet is, you know, if watching somebody do that, and that you realize, you know, from the stands, it looks high until you stand next to the bar and you look up and you realize, oh, that's 19 feet. That's really tall. But just unbelievable. You know, because Chris jumped, it was about a week or two ago. It was not great conditions. I don't think he jumped very well. So then to be able to come back in this on the Twilight and do what he did was pretty special. And to do it at his, in quote unquote, home track was really fun to watch him.
You start looking up at that bar wondering, how big is the house that he could leap over?
Probably our houses. So, well, he's leaping over almost three of me when he does that. So that is really high. But, you know, and again, and think about it. Chris is, what, 24 years old, roughly, in that range? And you see, you know, the lifespan of pole vaulters is they're vaulting well into their 30s. And so it will be really interesting to see how high does he still have yet in him, because from the time he got here to where he is right now, he's well over jumping two feet higher.
Yeah.
And that's a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. He's had a ton of success, and obviously we talk about him a lot, and for good reason. You also mentioned Laura Bowman, and she is such a fascinating story because she didn't come here as a track athlete. She came here to play soccer and was recruited to track, and that shows, and they turned her into a tremendous thrower. She didn't, mm-hmm. I don't even think she competed in track in high school, if at all, very little. But that says a lot about the coaches that we have in place here.
Yeah, you know, and it's A.G. Kruger, our throws coach, has done a tremendous job with her. But what's funny is, you know, the injury that she suffered in soccer really kind of put her in a position that she wasn't going to play again. It was some of the other athletes that brought her out and say, hey, why don't you try throwing? Some of her friends were throwers, and you kind of stand, you know, you're out there with them enough, and then you start to throw. And, you know, and maybe it's because of soccer and just, you know, the footwork, the balance, the different things that she had that, you know, instantly you could tell that she could be pretty good. And slowly, you know, well, okay, why don't I try this? And then pretty soon every year goes by and, you know, your indoor season or your outdoor season, you get a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And now look at her. She's going to be going to the Olympic trials and really working for a spot on the Olympic team. For someone who came here to play soccer is incredible.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, hopefully the track teams and the athletes currently here can have success at the Summit League Championships. I know the preseason polls, women were picked first, men were picked second. I know they feel really good about where the women's team is, especially coming off of that indoor title.
Right, and they've, you know, again, and, you know, Lucky will sit there and kind of they map all that stuff out and who's going to do what and where it looks like. But again, really strong opportunity for both of them to make some noise. And it depends on, you know, some individual performances. It just, you know, where does everything fall? There's going to be some that surprise you, some that, you know, there'll be some, there's always some athletes that are disappointed in where, you know, how they finished or how they performed. But again, I think the biggest thing for us is let's hope for good weather. And I look at this team to, you know, we honestly still have a shot at both, but it's going to take some strong performances by everybody consistently across the board to get us to that point.
And a very important corn point up for grabs.
Yes, it is. And so a very important corn point, because based on where we sit right now, the Showdown Series trophy is going to be won or lost by either team, by either school this weekend.
No doubt. Well, we'll see how things play out, and hopefully good things for USD. You know, I was reminded when I was talking to Lucky Huber, as we're talking about track, that this year, actually coming up here about a month from now, a little over, is the 50th anniversary of Title IX. And as someone who has an all-female household, you can appreciate that. But you start to look back, and I know it's kind of the calendar year of 2022, but you just look back at this academic year, and as we approach the 50th anniversary of Title IX, this has been an unbelievably successful year in women's sports at USD.
It has, you know, and it's continued, I think, the success that the team is, that all of our women's teams have had. You know, and we'll, over the course of, you know, as we get into the summer and certainly into the fall, we'll be have an opportunity to kind of share the legacy of women's athletics here at USD. And I think that's going to be really special. I think some people, you kind of forget what some of these teams have done. And in some cases, some of our teams, it's really been in the last 15 or so years that they've really started to shine. But you're right. As an all-family household, I think for me, you kind of grow up knowing whether, and my girls certainly know nothing less than the access for women's sports versus when I was growing up, when girls didn't really play much. There really wasn't that much for them to do. And so we certainly have come light years from then till now, from being in high school and the women's teams got the hand-me-downs of the men's teams and so on. So to where we are right now, to the success, you know, whether it's volleyball, women's basketball, swimming, soccer, indoor track. I mean, triathlon, third in the country. I mean, so there's been an unbelievable amount of success that our women's sports have held this year. And don't be surprised when we win the Helen Smiley Summit League All Women's Trophy this year again, which is something that we've really kind of held a stranglehold on the last 7 or 8 years. And so, but it goes to the overall, I think, quality of our coaches, the athletes that we recruit, and the emphasis that we place there. And the proof really ends up being in their success, not only here, but you know, if you look at all of our women's sports, you're probably looking at 3.5 GPA. So they're unbelievable athletes and unbelievable students.
Well, there's been a lot of growth there, and USD Athletics continues to look for growth as well. You look to next year. It's hard to think about. All right, we're already thinking about next year, but how are season tickets and all of that? I know they've been pushing season tickets and some of that stuff, and how are those coming in for our fans?
It's kind of that steady roll right now, but I tell you too, I think we're both in football and now volleyball, because we certainly sell season tickets in volleyball now. We're well over 40% renewed, which at this point in time of the year, based on the history in the past, we're probably 10% higher than we typically have been, and we'll continue to push. I think we have enough data now that not only are we renewing our current season tickets, but in the next couple of weeks we'll be going after individuals that have bought multiple single game tickets and really trying to bring everybody on board. It helps when you have such a all-around great season, certainly both in football and in volleyball. And that's just that steady push that you'll see us do, and you'll get a lot more visible, both from especially from a media standpoint coming up here in the next few weeks. But that push and that drive to really fill both facilities in the fall is key, because, you know, football and as much now too, volleyball really kind of helps us set the tone for the school year and getting our base engaged.
Last thing for you, this Friday is the first golf outing. It starts the summer tour, if you will, for USD Athletics. It's in Yankton, put on by the Yankton Howling Pack chapter, but it kind of kicks off the golf and parade season.
It does. We're here already. It's great, isn't it? So, yeah, I think, you know, the Howling Pack in Yankton does an unbelievable job putting this together. You know, you'll see a lot of our coaches that are going to be out there. It's a really fun time, and it kicks us off sooner than you might think, right? May 13th, and we're sitting there golfing already, though people have been rolling around the bluffs here for a while. But then, so that's this Friday. And then boy, it's a couple weeks later that we've got the Charlie Open here in Vermilion on June 3rd. And that one's usually 30, 34 teams somewhere in there. And that's a fun time because we put all of our teams and coaches on the various holes. So you get a chance to really see everybody. But shoot, after that, I think in June, we're in the Harrisburg Days Parade, Czech Days in Tabor. About a week later, we're in T. That's in June. I think July, we're in Jefferson Days, a 59 parade. You'll see us down there. And Danish Days in Viborg, and, of course, Yankton Riverboat Days there towards the end of August. And then we have the golf tournament in August 1st in Beersford. So we really, you know, it's a commitment for us to get back into those communities, bring our athletes and our teams back into those communities, and really kind of, give back, also trying to connect with those individuals and really try to bring a little bit of the Coyote Nation to all the surrounding communities.
Yeah, well, it should be a fun summer. People excited about all the success that we've had throughout the course of this year. David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletics director at the University of South Dakota. Always good stuff. Again, you got about 3 weeks left. Ask the AD if you want to get anything in for this season. Of course, I would love to have you reach out to me directly, submit them however you want to do it. Make sure I get it, and we will get your questions asked and answered with David Herbster over the next couple of weeks. Summer League Track and Field Championships going on in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's the warmer weather down there, so they go down for some track and field. Coyotes track teams trying to chase down Summer League championships. The women, of course, won the indoor title. Outdoors a little bit different, but they're going to give it a go, see if they can sweep the Summer League track titles this year. Should be fun to follow all week long. Important corn point up for grabs. The Coyotes need to finish higher than SDSU in either the men or the women. And the Coyotes will wrap up the South Dakota Showdown Series and all that good stuff here for the season. So we'll see if they can do it. But one of the two teams has to finish above South Dakota State. But I had a chance this week to catch up with Lucky Huber, the director of track and field at USD. Lucky, it's hard to believe, but we're almost at the end of the season here as you approach the Summit League Track and Field Championships. With track and field, the season's kind of run together, and before you know it, you're in the middle of May. Does it always feel like it flies by once you really get going in late fall?
Yeah, you know, it's that's a great thing about our sport is we get to work with these kids pretty much all year long. So it's kind of weird. Everybody in the rest of the world is at the end, and we're just kind of thinking of this as the start of our championship season. So we'll have the Summit League and then hopefully take some kids to the NCAA championships and maybe even a few kids to the USA championships. So we kind of look at this as the start of our championship season, and we're excited to see all that hard work these kids have put in start to pay off.
Last week, you got to host one more event, the USD Twilight, and a couple of your former athletes set some records and really had good performances in Laura Bowman and Chris Nilsen. How fun was that to have those guys back in Vermilion and competing at a very high level?
You know, it was fun. For Laura, it was really cool because she won the Drake Relays the weekend before. So it was kind of neat to see her. And, you know, they're really kind of important to each of those training groups. For the Hall of the Throwers to see Laura, and I'm sure you've been through the story with her before. I've not really been a high school track athlete. To see her successful at this level is really inspiring and a great tribute to her hard work, and AG. AG's just done an amazing job with her, and we're really proud of all the work that's gone into that and her success. And then, you know, Chris Nielsen, what do you say? We're kind of interested to see where he's going to tap out at. The kid loves to perform. Anytime you put him in front of a crowd like that, he's going to do something pretty great. So we'd like to get him back indoors, and maybe he can set an indoor American record also.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be really, really cool. It's been fun to follow his post-USD career. Certainly for a lot of people, you're coming off of that last week where Summit League track and field athletes all went to your athletes, four different awards. And I think a lot of them, if not all of them, were sophomores. That's a really good sign for this program.
Well, it is, you know, in a couple of ways. A, we're proud that we got some sophomores that are competing at that level. But the other thing is I think, you know, every track program does things a little bit different. And we kind of really gear ourselves towards this championship part of the season. And in addition to those four kids that had a great time, we had over 30 season best marks out of all of our different kids. And we think that's a really good sign as we go into this week, just that our kids are peaking and they're ready to go. And it helped to have good weather. It helped to be at home. And we think our facility is one of the best in the country. So it was fun to have a great facility to train at and a great crowd. It was really a fun track meet.
You mentioned weather for last week. Now you look ahead to this week. The weather looks very nice in Tulsa. It's on the warmer side, upper 80s, low 90s possible throughout the weekend. How do you help the athletes adjust themselves? You do go to some warm meets throughout the year, but the warm weather is not exactly something that we're accustomed to quite yet in this part of the region.
Right. You know, and everybody trains differently, but one of the things that we've been really pushing our kids to do is just this hydration idea. And we talk to our kids about it all year round. Anytime you see our kids on campus walking around, they carry a water bottle with them. And that's something we've been really reinforcing here this last week is drinking a lot of water, getting ready to go, so that you're doing that. And then we've got good food for the kids. So they're eating well, drink a lot of water, get a lot of sleep. We actually traveled yesterday, so we'd have another day down here to get ready for it. And then it's the same temperature in every lane. Let's go out. And our Jamaican kids are really excited to have some warm weather, I can tell you that.
You've got a team coming off of a indoor championship this year, snapping obviously an incredible stretch by North Dakota State. How has that just built the confidence for this group as they try to chase an outdoor title?
You know, I think pretty amazing, actually. We've got some really amazing leaders on our team. You know, some of them are the older kids that you think about as seniors, but, you know, some of our younger kids, even one of our freshman girls, is out here grinding through a little bit of pain because everybody wants to win. I think they've seen through what the other teams have done, having success this year with the volleyball team and the basketball team having success, that's an expectation within our athletic department. So I think our kids are just looking at it as, hey, this is ours. Let's go out and let's take it. But it's not going to be easy. North Dakota State's got a great women's team and a great men's team, and we just need to go out and do the best we can, and hopefully we can win a conference title or two.
Indoor and outdoor season, they're different, more than just a roof over your head. How do the two differ in big ways as you try to prepare for this weekend?
Well, there's some ways that help us. We're a good 400-meter hurdle school. We've got a great hurdle coach, so 400-meter hurdles is kind of one of our things. But we add some more throws. And, you know, North Dakota has had javelin for a long time up there as a high school event. So they're usually a little bit better in the javelin area. We add the discus, so that's another throw. But we feel like we can hopefully get in there and battle and break them up in that area. And then we got some distance events, too. And feel pretty comfortable with our distance girls. We got Abby Ripper, who's going to run quite a combination here, the 10K and the 5K both. But, you know, you add a few more events, but we got a lot of kids. It was actually really tough to pick this team. We left some kids that are ranked in the top 8 in the conference home this weekend because we can only bring 32 kids. So we feel like we're stacked pretty tough, and we just got to go out and compete.
I believe the women were picked first in the preseason poll and the men second. How do you feel about those preseason rankings now as you get to the end of the season?
Yeah, you know, preseason rankings usually don't mean very much. But I think probably the other schools recognize that, you know, we had a really good recruiting year here and things are rolling. So I feel pretty comfortable with our women that we got a really good shot. The men's team, we got a few injuries. We're kind of battling through here. Had a couple unfortunate breaks along the way, but you know, that's what makes it exciting. No one would have thought we would have been 2 points away at the indoor meet. So, we'll get in here and compete a little bit, and we've got some really strong areas, and, get in and compete and see what we can do.
Lucky, when you look at both of your teams, I'm sure you guys have done all the math trying to figure out where you need to get points to try to win this thing. Who do you feel has to be strong on both sides to really give these two teams a chance at a championship?
Well, you know, to answer your question, it's the kids who place 5th through 8th that really help you win conference titles. Every team, no matter how many points they score, have their top kids that are going to come in. And you know, for example, Western Illinois has got some really good half milers that we know are going to come in there and score. But it's really the kids that are in the 5 through 8 spot that help you win a conference championship. The kid who comes in ranked number 12, who all of a sudden scores 2 points and bumps somebody else down, and that becomes a 3 or 4 point swing. So those are the kids that we're really counting on to be able to step up and compete this weekend. So it's really every event. We've got some great kids, and we've got some kids that we feel like can come in and take advantage of this opportunity and come in and compete. So, you know, those 4 kids that were conference athletes of the week, we need them to compete, but we've got so many great athletes on our team that we just need to really support each other and get fired up, and let's go win a meet.
Earlier, you were talking about the success that other sports have had at USD. Obviously, your team won an indoor championship this year, but you look at it, you've been at USD for a while, and this might be one of the more successful top-to-bottom years in USD athletics. How cool has this year been, just as a whole, to sit back and see all this success?
You know, it has been really cool, and not, take nothing away from the men's part of it, but it's ironic that this is the 50th year of Title IX, and you look at what our women's teams were able to do this year. It was really, really, really proud of how those teams have done. And again, that's nothing against our men's team. Obviously, that football game was a lot of fun, where on the last second we scored the touchdown. But when you think about where our women's athletics has come in my 30 years here, it's come a long ways. And a big part of that is Title IX. And, you know, 50 years ago, somebody decided that my daughter deserves as much opportunity as someone's son. And I think Dave Herbster and Sheila are doing a really good job of keeping that legacy going.
Well, certainly people like yourself who continue to recruit them and coach all these student athletes up. It's been fun to watch. Lucky, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Best of luck this weekend as you guys chase championships and a chance to extend the season for a lot of these individuals.
Yeah, I'd encourage people to go on the Go Yotes website. There's going to be a live stream. There'll be live results, a lot of things like that. So even though you can't be in Tulsa, you'll still get a chance to follow the meet. And Brittany's down here, so our social media will be pumping. So check us out, follow us, and Go Yotes.
That's Lucky Huber. He is the director of track and field at the University of South Dakota. You can follow along with all the track and field athlete success down in Tulsa. Go to goyotes.com for all the information. Also, social media will be going strong here throughout the next couple of days for the Summit League Track and Field Championships. One of the best to ever do it on defense, Jack Cochran, did not hear his name called on the NFL draft weekend, but he did sign a free agent contract with the Kansas City Chiefs as a priority free agent and has recently completed the rookie minicamp with the Chiefs. Had a chance this week to chat with Jack Cochran about his process leading up to the draft and his experience in rookie minicamp. Jack, first off, congratulations. You got an opportunity to sign a free agent contract with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I know you've worked with them a little bit, but congratulations. I know it's a big goal, big dream for you, and had to feel good getting that opportunity.
Yeah, no, it definitely feels good. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on.
Jack, when you look at yourself and preparing for the NFL draft, obviously the Coyote football season ended after a round one playoff game. What did you do following the season as you started to prepare yourself to hopefully hear your name called on draft night?
Yeah, you know, it's a process that happens pretty quick once the season's over. So the first thing I had to do once our season got over was find an agent. So that was a process that I got done there in December. And once you get all that done, you start to figure out where you're going to train and stuff for your pro day training and get all that stuff ironed out. But definitely it's one of those things where, you know, you kind of get done with the season and you take a couple days to relax, and then it's, you know, start working towards the next thing.
How much did this become a real business for you as far as the workouts and getting yourself perhaps even in better shape than you were playing for USD?
Yeah, you know, I like to think that the process that I used my last couple years in college was pretty good. So I had a ton of people that helped me out at school as far as getting me ready and knowing what it's going to take at the next level and kind of the things you have to do on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, definitely I graduated last fall. So once I got into the spring there, it was pretty much all football. all business and you know, just doing everything I can to keep my body in as good a shape as possible to get ready for the next level.
As you start going through workouts and preparing for pro days and things like that, and any opportunity to get in front of teams, when did the process start as far as communicating with teams to find out, you know, more information about you and you find out information about them?
Yeah, I would say I played in the NFLPA Bowl in January, and all 32 teams were there. So I ended up interviewing with, I think, around 20 teams at that. So that was the first time I really got to interact with teams. And obviously we had scouts and stuff at practice last fall. So I'd always seen teams around, but didn't really get to talk to them and kind of see what they saw until that All-Star game in January.
Talk about that All-Star game of the NFLPA Bowl, the opportunity to be around those teams. Did you feel comfortable, kind of relaxed, or was it more of a stressful game just knowing that this was essentially the early stages of a job interview?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a whirlwind. I mean, you get there and you're playing with guys you never played with before and you're trying to learn a defense. And at the same time, you got interviews and stuff at night with NFL teams. So it's definitely it's stressful, but it's a good stress. I mean, there's nowhere else you'd rather be. I mean, every little kid dreams of playing NFL football. So understanding that was a part of the process and really attacking that week was a big thing for me. So yeah, it was definitely, it was work, but I mean, if work is playing football, that sounds pretty good to me.
You put out phenomenal numbers at Pro Day and an opportunity to really showcase yourself. Go through that process and what it meant to you to have that success, knowing that was an important step in your journey.
Yeah, it was something that, you know, I worked incredibly hard on. I trained down in Miami after New Year's, and I had awesome coaches down there that really got me where I need to be technically and physically. So it was one of those things where, yeah, you work super hard for it, but going into it, I was super confident. I really trusted my training, but yeah, when you officially, you kind of know where you're going to be, but when you hit those numbers that you want to hit, that's a good feeling.
Was it after the pro day, or at what moment did you really feel confident that you were going to have an opportunity somewhere?
Yeah, I think, I think through the process, I knew I was going to have some semblance of opportunity. But you know, opportunity there's that spectrum is so big. It can be anywhere from a draft pick to a rookie tryout. So, after that, I think I knew I had a pretty good chance of, you know, hopefully being a late round pick, which didn't happen, but almost certainly being a, you know, priority free agent after the draft.
Going into the NFL draft, what was your feeling as far as how many teams were really interested in you, and if you might hear your name called on Saturday?
Yeah, it was the couple weeks leading up to the draft. I mean, the phones were busy, so that was a good sign. I knew I had a lot of interest, but kind of I think the sense around the league was, you know, the draft was going to be pretty unpredictable because of how big the draft class was and everything. So I knew that the interest was there, but at the same time, everything I was hearing is going to be a pretty unpredictable draft. So I knew the interest was there, but there was still some question marks as to how everything was going to shape out.
Typically, as the draft is winding down on Saturday, teams are starting to work out their priority free agents. When did you know that you were going to have an opportunity and it would be with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, throughout that third day, I mean, you're communicating with a bunch of people and, you know, after the draft and towards the end of the draft, you start to talk to teams and see what their plan is going to be. And talking with my agent, Kansas City was a place I was really comfortable with, you know, and talking with their, defensive staff, Coach Spagnuolo, Coach Daly, and Coach Reed, obviously the head coach. I knew it was a situation that would be a good fit for me and really just an awesome organization to be a part of. So, ended up being a pretty easy choice.
When you get that opportunity, I would imagine a sense of relief once that agreement was in place. What were the emotions that you went through, I guess, during the draft process on Saturday, not getting drafted, but also knowing that you had signed a contract and an opportunity?
Yeah, it was definitely a whirlwind of a day. I mean, yeah, I was watching those last few rounds, those hours kind of drug out, but I mean, as soon as, you know, We knew it was going to happen. I don't know if I would say relieved. I was just excited, you know, to get going. I mean, you do all this training for pro day and stuff, and it's, you're training for drills. And I was just excited to go play football. You know, I mean, that's what I love, and that's what everyone loves doing. That's in this league. So, I would say more than anything, I was just like ready to get going, and I was super motivated to go and start to, you know, show the team what I can do and do whatever it takes to help them out.
Jack, I think everybody's always curious. What do players like yourself do during the draft? It's a three-day process, not knowing if or when your name might get called. Do you have friends over? Is it just a family thing? What was your type of setup for the draft?
It was pretty low-key. It was just family, couple friends, but not a huge, like, I'm not like an extra dude or anything. So it was pretty chill. It was pretty low key. I had some family around, and you know, I was on the phone with my agent a lot, that last day. So, it wasn't anything crazy, but it was a good group of people to have around.
You know, it's funny. People hear you say you're kind of a chill, low key guy. You're everything but chill on a football field when you're getting after it defensively. And I know our fans have seen plenty of that, but you knew you had to get after it right away. Once you signed that contract, what was your process as far as getting to Kansas City and reporting and beginning your journey?
Yes, we had rookie minicamp the weekend after the draft. Just got done here a couple of days ago. So just doing everything to make sure my body was right where it needed to be going into that. Making sure I was in good shape, making sure all the football skills were sharp, and then just going in and being ready to learn, because obviously NFL defense is a different level of requirement as far as the mental aspect of the game. So just making sure I was prepared to go in and learn as quickly as I could and, you know, be able to produce what I learned on the field.
You talked about anybody could be a draft pick all the way down to a rookie tryout. That's what these mini camps are for. Everybody gets together. What was the feeling like for you being on the field with guys who were drafted, guys who were priority free agents, guys who were really trying anything, last grasp, trying to make anything happen? What was that feeling like for you when you got to the Chiefs mini camp, put on that uniform, and realized, like, wow, made it?
Yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, it's definitely a cool feeling. But at the same time, I'm a very, like, goal-driven dude as far as, like, once I get to one place, I'm thinking about the next thing. So as soon as I got there, I mean, it was work, but I was doing everything I can to compete and produce well on the field. It's, you know, bigger facilities, nicer bells and whistles. But, you know, kind of the cool thing about the game is no matter what level you're at, it's still the same game. It's 11-on-11. So it's wherever you're at, it's, you put the pads on, it ends up being the same thing you've been doing since you were a little kid.
How do you assess your performance in rookie minicamp?
It was good. I mean, it's definitely a whirlwind, learning a lot in a few days. So it's not going to be perfect, but, I really enjoyed, getting to be around my teammates and getting to know everything. And I also, think I did some good things on the field as well. So definitely a good place to start from. I'm excited to take the next step and continue to develop my relationship with coaches and teammates and earn their trust and continue to do whatever the organization asks for me.
What is the next step for you then? Are you locked in Kansas City for now and you work out at their facilities, or what are the next steps in your process?
Yep. So rookie minicamp just got over. So we get this week off as rookies. And then we go into the phase two of the off-season program, mixing in with the vets, starting next week. And that'll lead into phase three and mini camps and all that. So next month will be pretty busy, but I'm really excited to continue to get going.
I know that you're a goal-driven guy. It's hard, though, not to get starstruck as veterans start to come back. How do you try to compartmentalize that and know that you're there to earn an opportunity?
Yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, you know, I don't know if starstruck is the right word, but I see it as an awesome opportunity to learn. I mean, these are some of the best football players in the world on that team, and I'm trying to become one of them myself. So just taking everything I can learn from them, whatever the position may be, I think is a great opportunity for me.
Your goal is to continue to grow and get opportunities on defense. Have you thought about the opportunities that may be there on a special teams unit that might be your ticket to making this thing last?
Oh, yeah, that's a huge thing. Anyone in the league will tell you that as a rookie, especially a linebacker, if you're not valuable on special teams, you know, your value greatly decreases. So we got a little taste of that in rookie minicamp. Really enjoyed the special team staff and learning from them the past weekend. So definitely that's going to be a huge part of the next step for me.
Jack, I know you've got a lot of things that you still want to accomplish in the game of football, but you look back at when it really began for you at Illinois State when they pulled your red shirt and you got the opportunity to go on the field. I know your confidence has grown since that day, but do you look back at that day and think, wow, that was really the start of this journey?
It is crazy. Seeing where you started and seeing where you're at now. I think I actually got like de-cleated on my very first play in that game too, on the opening kickoff. So definitely made some steps from them, but it is pretty wild to look back and see how the journey has progressed to where I'm at today.
You became a fixture on this defense and a big part of the USD community. When people remember the name and think of the name Jack Cochran, what do you hope they remember about you as the football player and just as the person?
That's a good question. I'd hope that they remember a guy who was willing to do whatever it takes to win, and being a great teammate and someone who was a leader and competed with everything they had. So I'd hope they just remember me as a guy who was willing to do whatever it takes.
I know you got a lot of people cheering for you and excited to see where this journey goes for you, Jack. Really appreciate the time. All the best going forward. Continued success as you chase down this dream.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on.
That's Jack Cochran, a former linebacker at the University of South Dakota, one of the most down-to-earth guys and just a phenomenal, not only football player, obviously, that goes without saying, right, but just a phenomenal human being as well, and always willing to take the time to stop and talk to people. You just love those down-to-earth type of people, and now everybody cheering for Jack as he tries to make it with the Kansas City Chiefs and keeps that dream alive of playing in the National Football League. He's worked his rear end off to get to this point. And, you know, I brought up the Illinois State game where they pulled his red shirt, and I can remember Jack going out of the field, and I remember, you know, the look in his eyes. I was down on the sidelines for that game, and I remember seeing Jack prior to that, and you could tell, you know, a little bit of nerves. I mean, you're about to play in your first college game, right? But boy, talk about not having nerves by the end of your career. I mean, somebody who's grown so much physically and just mentally with the game as well has been phenomenal. And boy, he's had a great deal of success at USD, and I really, really hope he gets the chance to stick with Kansas City, and if not there, somewhere else. Get him a chance to continue chasing that dream in the NFL. So we'll keep an eye on Jack Cochran, see how he does there, and hopefully we don't have any news on Jack until next fall, because that would mean that he's got a good chance to stay in there on a roster, and that's what we're all hoping for right now. All right, before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics. Not a whole lot. The Summer League Track and Field Championships are going on in Tulsa, Oklahoma, of course, and then the Summer League Softball Championships. At the time that I'm recording this, we still have no idea when they're going to be played. They were postponed on day number one, postponed on Wednesday. And as of the recording of this episode, there still has not been an announcement of when the games are going to be played and how they're going to have that schedule going forward. So we'll keep an eye on that, but obviously that will take us into the weekend, and hopefully next week we could talk about the softball surging to a Summit League championship. We'll keep an eye on all of that. All right, that's it for me this week. Thanks so much for tuning in. Again, coming up in the next 3 weeks, we will hear from Ty Morgenthaler, Taylor Ignoto, and Gabby Johnson, all the new basketball coaching staff for women's basketball at USD. That's your tease. It's all coming up here the next 3 weeks. We'll have others in there as well, but those three, I can guarantee you, are coming up over the next 3 weeks. All right, that's it for me. I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.